This week, we've got yet another giant of the foot scene, Edge Apes FIFA. I sit down with him to find out his thoughts and insights on gameplay, tactics, possession play, squad battles, PC FIFA, his dynamite discard and informed impression, and much, much more. I'm your host, Ben, and that's all coming up on this week's Foot Weekly Podcast. As you just heard on the podcast today, we have a man who needs no introduction. It's Edge Apes FIFA. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate the chance to talk about all things that are good in the FIFA community.
Yeah, I mean, things are kind of good, I think, at the moment. We're in the kind of honeymoon period, really. People have got to grips with the game. People are enjoying it. I know you've played quite a few games this year, which wasn't necessarily the case when we spoke to you last year,
actually. Yeah, I tend to do this every year, so we'll see if it kind of hangs out. But I've played like almost maybe 250 or so games right now, which is a lot.
That is a lot,
and yeah. But I'm really enjoying it this year, like way more than last year. And some of the like negativity that's floating around that I see in like the forums and on Reddit and stuff is a little bit baffling to me at this point.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. I think that the game is massively improved on what we were offered last year. There's a number of reasons for that, but actually we might as well ask you, seeing as you haven't been on the podcast this year, what do you think of it overall? What are your thoughts on the gameplay?
Oh, I think it's great. I still think I maybe preferred it a little bit better towards like the pre-patch, but that's just because the skill gap was like way larger, and so when I got like smacked around, like I knew I got smacked around, and I couldn't blame things on, you know, like some of the game mechanics at all, or like I didn't have as many reasons other than being like, yeah, this guy was better than me or that way. But like overall, I think the game is massively improved. Like you can play a variety of different styles. You can use a variety of different formations and be successful. And I just think that's like, for me, at least, that was one of the biggest things that I wanted to see happen. And EA is like kind of pulled through for that. And so I think it's great. I'm really, really enjoying it.
Yeah, I've got to agree with you. I think one of the things that has really stood out to me, and we talked about this on the podcast before the game released, one of the things we were really keen to see was people being able to play different styles of football and that being effective. And I think that does seem to be kind of the case. At least certain formations seem to work way better than previous years, certain more balanced formations. Like I've been using the 4-2-3-1 brackets 2, so the one with the left mid and right mid. And I've wanted that to be effective for ages, just because I feel like it is a formation which should be effective and it's nice to play with. You can play in different ways. And actually this year, it's been really, really good. I don't know, are there any formations you've been sort of surprised by this year?
Yeah, so I like that formation too. For this year, for the first time ever, I've been able to use a 4-3-2-1 for a possession style, which is pretty crazy. Because in the past, that was one of the like classic ping it forward and just try to like 1-2 send through balls and like hope for the best. But you can kind of play it in a possession style this year, which is cool. But my preferred formation at the moment is actually the 4-4-1-1. So with the center forward and two CMs versus the two DMs. So a more attacking version of the formation that you like. And it's treating me well. I think I've got one loss at this point in weekend league and have like 8 games to go. So it's so far so good with that formation.
And how did you do last weekend?
I got Elite 2. I was one game off of Elite 1. And that was, so on PC, which I'm on PC this year, there's this thing to prevent cheaters where if you like tab out or click on your other monitor, or like don't switch over to the game fast enough from doing something else on the other monitor, it'll just automatically disconnect you. And I did that twice. So that's been one of the adjustments. And that was like pretty brutal when I got to my last game and I was like one game off of Elite 1. But my rewards were okay. So I really can't complain too much about it.
What did you end up getting in your rewards?
I got Courtois and Inform Matuidi were my best pulls. So that's pretty good.
Ah, nice. Inform Matuidi sounds great. Have you actually had a chance to eat
him? I sold him straight away for Inform Goretzka, who was slotted right into my team.
Idea.
And he's awesome.
And of course, he's this week's team of the week, so we'll be rounding that up as well. So do you think that there's been a really sizable increase in the skill gap since last year? And do you think that the patch altered it so much that there isn't a skill gap now?
This is like kind of a, as far as FIFA questions go, this is a loaded question. So I think with the way defending was set up pre-patch originally, there was like a drastic difference in the way that you had to play from previous years that increase the skill gap by quite a bit, because you just couldn't rely on what defending had become last year, right? Where you could basically put your controller down and like your AI would like bomb around and make tackles for you. That just was not the case. And so rather than people trying to adjust and learn the new game, the easier thing to do is just to say, oh, this game is bogus. This game is terrible. Like, what were they thinking? Defending's, you know, horrible. And it's just easier to do that. And I totally understand that. And actually, I think it was, for your average FIFA player, I think it was the pre-patch gameplay, it was too hard to defend for the average player. And I think that's that boils down to like one big reason, and that's that EA, when it like boils down to like the basic goal of their game, is to make the best footy simulation available for people. And if people, your average player, is going out and buying it, and they play their games are like 10-6, 10-8, like 9-7 as score lines. Like, I don't know about you, but I don't see many games on the weekend with those score lines. It takes away some of the joy of scoring a goal. And I think that is something that EA wants people to tangibly feel when you're in a tight game and you score a goal to make it go 1-0 or go 1-0 up in like the 70th minute. That's a big deal, right? In real football, that's a big deal. And when you're making a simulation, you want that to feel like a big deal as well. And so I think for that case, EA like did the right thing in patching the game. And also, like the way it was before, people, when they scored a bunch of goals and beat people, they beat them really, really badly. And they'd be like, what everybody wants to say is, oh, I am awesome at this game. Like, I'm a great player. And now, after the patch, they weren't scoring as many goals and they weren't winning by as much. And so rather than taking some of the blame like upon themselves and saying, hey, I need to figure out what's changed and how to better manipulate the tools that I'm given in the game, it's, oh, this game is bad, this game is like broken. And so they were winning by a lot before, and now if they're losing, they weren't getting smashed, and instead they're losing by just a little. And when you lose by just a little, the natural inclination, at least in the FIFA community, is that it's not my fault, right? It's something that the game did. There's not a mistake. And like, I can, in the games that I've lost, at least the one that I lost this week in the league, like I can point back to being level, trying to rush it forward on the 65th minute and turning it over in the midfield, giving up a counter, and I'm down by one. And like, at that point, I have to go for it, right? And like, rather than me saying, hey, I should have taken my time with like that buildup, or I shouldn't have played like that risky ball trying to hit the center forward when I knew he had a CDM man marking, I like could have done better and played a safer option like out to the wings. And I don't think that's the mentality that like incorporated a lot, but I think people would end up as better players if they really took a look at themselves and like what they're doing that could be wrong with the mechanics.
I totally agree. I mean, I think one of the biggest things which is interesting with this Champions channel, I mean, these players now can watch back their gameplay,
right?
But obviously it's only the top players, but I'd really like some of these people complaining to look back at their own gameplay and see the mistakes they're making. It's kind of one of those things. I always look back at the games that I've played and think, maybe watch some of the replays and see I did make a mistake for that goal, I did make a mistake for this. It's not just all down to things out of my control. Yes, there's rubbish that happens in the game at times, but those kind of problems which you're blaming on EA, etc., etc., you're just spending time that you could be spending on thinking about how to improve your gameplay, how to improve your team, how to improve your game management overall. And I think it's massively underrated, game management, and how you take advantage of the position you're in a game, like closing out a win or things like that, which actually I don't think I'm particularly good at. And I think that's why I'll never be like a really top player, but I like to play people who are good at the game and challenge myself. If I start blaming EA and I start complaining about things, then it just makes the whole thing less enjoyable anyway.
Yeah. So there's like obviously a lot of talk about how it like mitigated the skill gap. And I found what was interesting is after the first weekend league, how many pros were all over the top of the leaderboard with like 40 wins or like 39 wins or whatever it is. And it's like, if that gap wasn't there, they'd be dropping more games still. And so they might not be enjoying it as much as they did pre-patch, but the skill gap is still there enough that the good players should consistently rise to the top.
Yeah, and I think before, one of the huge things was how bad goalkeepers were. And certain people, I think, could take advantage of the fact that shots from certain angles would just be going in every time. The improvement in keepers, especially in the box, has possibly gone even too far. In fact, I think some of the one-on-ones difficult to score at times. But I'd still kind of rubbish that, because actually, if you have a player with good finishing and things like finesse shot trait, they can really help you out and you will find your score most of your one-on-ones. But have you found the goalkeepers since the patch?
I think they're, like, I just don't think that I've noticed them maybe as much as, or to the, like, the extreme that people were saying. And also, but I think that's, like, before, I didn't seem to think that they were as bad as everybody else was saying as well. But I think that's largely down to the way I tend to defend and the type of shots that I tend to give up. And so, like, I think that worked okay with the way they were before. And, like, yeah, I don't finish as many, like, one-on-ones in the box now. But to, like, combat that, and I don't know, I can't speak for everyone on what traits they're using on their players or chemistry styles or anything, but I tend to use the sniper style, and, like, that is one of the biggest boosts to finishing and positioning that you can get in the game, and I find those to be super helpful when it comes to scoring, like, my chances. Like, I don't really, shot power for me, like, it's nice, but it's not the end-all be-all. Like, I'd rather have a 99 finishing stat. And we'll do, like, what I need to with the chemistry style to make sure that stat gets there. And I think it helps a lot.
Yeah, definitely. And with that chem style, you also get a good little balance boost to the dribbling and ball control, which is going to help as well, isn't it? With,
yep.
with positioning yourself to make that finish.
Definitely.
And yeah, sniper is pretty underrated, actually. It's one of the cheaper chem styles, but it is very effective. Actually, that's a point that I wanted to just move on to quickly, because a lot of our listeners, many of them will have played many years of foot, and many of them will have played maybe not very long. And one of the things that I think is really important to kind of remember at this stage in the game, when you've kind of started to settle your team a bit, is what can tip a player over from being a decent player to a really quality player. Is that, I think, is chem styles in many ways. There's some really, really big boosts off certain chem styles. I know you were telling me before about how things like Shadow and Hunter make a huge, huge difference to you.
Hunter, not so much. Like, it's a rarity that unless a player has probably high 70s in shooting and their pace stat with over, like, or with at least, like, mid 80s for dribbling, like, that's the only case I think I use Hunter. But Shadow I use on all of my defenders and all of my central midfielders. Like, I don't care what formation it is. I could be playing a three-man midfield with CMs, or I could be playing a two-man midfield like I am now, or even, like, a one-on-one. Like, not the attacking mid if I was playing with an attacking mid, but otherwise, like, everybody uses Shadow, and that's because, for me, like, the most important stats this year are, like, standing tackle and interceptions are, like, crazy, crazy important stats. Standing tackle especially, because if a player has a good standing tackle rating, like, that to me is better than, like, having 99 strength. I take it every time. Yeah. So even players, like, that are fast defenders, like Jerome Boateng, or, like, I was using a Serie A team for a while, and I had Manolas, and I put Shadow on Manolas because he becomes this, like, unstoppable 90 or, like, mid-90s pace player with, like, 99 standing tackle. Like, and you can basically, you just bomb around and tackle people. It's really, it's, like, the most important chemistry style in FIFA this year for me. And I notice a difference on all of my players if they don't have the Shadow chem.
Yeah, totally. And actually, one of the things that I find really underrated is basic chemistry style. Weirdly, a lot of people go straight, you know, to their attacking player and stick, Hunter, as we were saying, which is a bit overrated in my view, and various other styles. But actually, basic is one of the few chemistry styles which boosts both strength, agility, ball control and dribbling, and pace slightly as well.
Yeah, acceleration.
So you get a really good balanced, obviously because it's basic, but you get a really good balanced boost, which actually does boost a number of stats, which most chem styles don't boost. But the one thing I would say is, in certain positions, like you were saying, it's incredible how important it is that you boost pace and defending on defensive players, especially centre-backs. I think one of the worst things that I see is people playing things like Gladiator or Guardian on centre-backs, and you just think you completely destroyed their pace, because the chemistry boost that they would get, even if they got were on basic, they get +5 acceleration. If they're on anchor, they'd be getting +10 and +5 acceleration and on sprint speed. So there are some really fundamental points, I think, in chemistry that people should look out for as they're building their teams. You can really negatively impact your ability to do well, especially in something like weekend league where the margins can be small, by having completely wrong chemistry style on players. Just because you've bought a player with that chemistry style, you know, go out and buy your anchor or your shadow or whatever, and make sure that they're getting the most out of those stat boosts. Obviously, on places like Foothead, you can see what the boosts are, and I'd always encourage people to do that if they can.
So you and I will both like speak confidently on chemistry styles, or like which ones we think are good. But like the best advice that I could give you for chemistry styles, especially if you're not familiar, is when you buy a player, leave him on basic for 5 games, see how he feels, and then go out and think about what chemistry style you think will best help out the areas that you don't think that he's performing well in. Like I played the game for years, and so when I'll look at a card, I'll say, okay, these are the stats that I think could be like should be improved for me to get the most out of this player. But when I'm starting a new FIFA, I leave everybody on basic to start the game, and then go on from there and try different chemistry styles. And so like this year, like Shadow and Sniper are the two ones that I really, really like. In past years, that was like not like I used Sentinel a lot in past years on my center backs because I found strength to be like really, really important. And this year, I just don't really care about the strength stat like at all.
That's interesting. Have you tested out and used like a really, really weak center back like Bartra or someone
just to really
test the theory?
I don't know if I've used a super weak center back. I'm trying to think of ones that I. Mm. Maybe like Toprak, I don't think is super strong. He's got like 76 pace, 83 defending, and I think somewhere in the 70s for strength. But like I put Shadow on him, and I think he's better for it. Like he's a pretty tall guy, though.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. I wonder whether I might have been overestimating strength actually, because I have got Anchor on most of my centre backs. I might give it a try with Shadow instead. I found towards the end of last year I was putting Anchor on centre backs more and more because I thought strength was having an impact in terms of that. You know, like shoulder tackle.
Yeah, I don't see that. The thing is, though, is tackling has changed, right? Like that shoulder tackle, that push and pull isn't really there. And now you can charge your tackles. And when they have a high, like standing tackle rating and you charge it way up, they put in a really, really nice tackle.
Mm-mm. That's a really good point. The one last thing we should cover on this, I think, is a lot of people will be listening to this saying, oh, chemistry doesn't really do anything. Chemistry styles don't really change anything. What would you say to those doubters?
I think that's just where it comes back to. Like, if you really want to see a difference, like, put them when you buy a player, put them on basic and, like, don't change anything else in your team at one time, right? Just change one thing at a time and just change one chemistry style on a player and see if you notice any improvements to the stats that they're supposed to be increasing. Like, so Timo Werner is a player that I use in my team, and leaving him on basic, I found him to be a little clunky, and his finishing wasn't stellar. You slap a sniper chem on him, he's got 99 finishing, and anything in the box now, he's capable of finishing, right? And before, with like 90 finishing or high 80s finishing, whatever it was, that just wasn't the case. And so his goal per game increased after I changed the chemistry style. And I think it's one of those things where it's really easy to join a camp one way or another. And I'm guilty of now being like a big fanboy, I guess, of chemistry styles, but it's easy to join a camp one way or another. But truly kind of experimenting and playing around with it without changing too many things at once, I think is hard to do, because people rage sell teams and rage sell players all the time, depending what happens, or, you know, oh, this guy's bad. And even though they just got like smoked by them in, you know, Champions League or whatever it might be, I'd say like give it time and experiment and play around with it. Cause like at the end of the day, yeah, you want to have a good record and stuff, but like if you're competing in weekend league, you want to be able to have the best teams and like the best tactics that you can put forth. And in order to do that, it's important to experiment and play around with different things.
Yeah. And actually very briefly, just leading on from that, Crespo has been outstanding for me, the 85 icon, and I got him with a hunter chem style on. Seems to make sense, not the highest pace, but would get a huge boost to that pace and probably hit around 99, and also obviously outstanding shooting. But he has very poor passing, and his kind of general all-round play for me when using him with that chem style was really poor. So I switched him to engine, and playing him as that striker in the 4-2-3-1 brackets 2, it was crucial because it meant that he was finally able to link up the play properly, his ability on the ball, his balance was so much better, which I think made a huge difference, so he could hold up the ball more effectively in that sense. Boosting his strength wouldn't have necessarily done that, but balance, dribbling and passing were really, really key, and I noticed a clear difference. And that was, you know, having used him for 5-6 games maybe with Hunter and then You know, I've used him for 40, 50, maybe more games now with Engine, and I definitely wouldn't change it for anything. So there is a huge difference in my view, and I'd encourage people to try it out and let us know what they think. If you're still a doubter, let us know as well. We're always interested to find out what people think.
Real quick, I'll touch back on like the strength conversation or like the shadow cam conversation defensively. And I think there's a case to be made that like Anchor in some situations would be better, but the vast majority of players on Ultimate Team do use players that have high pace and low strength in their attack. And so the center backs, and the players are not boosting the strength stat of those attackers either. So a center back or a defender, for the most part, is going to have a high enough strength stat that maybe it doesn't matter. And so boosting the defending and the pace is more important to defend the way people, like the vast majority of people, attack on foot.
Yeah. But for me, one of the really difficult things about defenders this year is the fact that their mobility is quite poor. Mm. And as you say, people are playing such pacey, dribbly strikers. And all the defenders you come up against, they'll have really poor agility and mobility. I guess the mobility is due to the agility, right? And that is a really problematic factor for me.
Yeah, real quick, what is your, in your custom tactics, what do you have aggression on?
I think it's about 40.
Yeah, you up that. What's probably happening is your defenders are giving the attackers too much base. Like what aggression basically does, at least for me in my experience, is the stat in your custom tactics for how close your defenders will be to an attacker when they receive the ball, or how likely they're to go for like tackles and interceptions right away. So they're going to be tighter to the ball. And if you're having trouble defending players with like a lot of agility, once you're like defenders get on them, it's a lot easier to tackle them. And so if you're giving them enough space to turn or do what they want, you're going to have a really, really hard time defending.
That's a really good point, actually. I think we're going to have to up my aggression as soon as possible. In terms of your own tactics, etc., like custom tactics and things like that, what are you going for at the moment?
I don't know if these custom tactics are for everyone. And if you find yourself a classic foot player that tries to mirror like pro players that play like 4-1-2-1-2 narrow, 4-3-2-1, you're very quick speed build-up style, where you're trying to constantly catch players on the counter, like I don't know if my custom tactics are going to be for you. With that said, I play on 39 speed, 36 passing, organized. My chance creation is 49 passing, 40 crossing, 45 shooting, organized. And my defense is 47 pressure, 54 aggression, and 40 width with a defensive line at cover.
Nice. Yeah, that sounds pretty well balanced.
Yeah, actually, my speed in passing, though, is low.
That's true, yeah.
Right? Compared to a lot of people. Like, a lot of pros have it at, like, 60 at the minimum for, like, their speed. And going all the way down into the 30s is a big decrease in how you have to play, like, style-wise.
That's true. That's interesting, though, because a guy that we had on the podcast a few weeks ago, I noticed on Twitter, he was using similar custom tactics. He's a pro player. Oh. He gets, like, I think last weekend he got like 37 and 38 wins on both Xbox and PlayStation.
Wow.
Which is unbelievable. Wow. And he was saying that, yeah, he goes for really low build up as well. So I'm interested to know why you do that, because I don't think I actually heard from him what the reason was.
I mean, largely for my like build up, the speed obviously is like how quickly you're trying to get the ball forward. But passing being low is, I like my players to come short. I just don't want them. I don't want big gaps between a lot of my players. I find if the gap's too big, then I get countered. That passes end up riskier. I can use like this, and this is why like shadow chem for me on my CMs is not a big deal, because most of them have short passing like in the 80s, and I'm playing like very, very safe passes because I have players that are coming short for me, right? I'm not playing super risky passes where you need a high passing stat to get away with it. So I just want to take safe passes, build it up, and get quality chances over like a cornucopia of mediocre opportunities that are going to result in maybe more goals or like half chances. I'd rather have like 5 quality chances and score 3 or 4 of them than have 10 half chances and score 1 or 2. It's just more, and not to mention with that, I'm 60-ish% of possession, which for me, that leaves like your average player that's attacking me is trying to ping it forward and counter. And that means that they're just not going to get as many of those chances either. And so when they're down to like 6 half chances, like they score maybe like 1 of them. And I'm putting myself in a position where I'm increasing the likelihood that I'm going to be able to control and win a game.
That's really interesting. And do you find that the 4-4-1-1 is a pretty helpful formation for playing a more possession style?
Yeah, I think it's great. I use some interesting. I think it depends. So one thing that I don't think people take into consideration that much is they just play the same instructions that they see other people use, or that they think they would like to use. They don't take into consideration the players that they have at their disposal and what those players' strengths are. So like, for example, if you're using, I don't know, you said you have Engine on Crespo, so he's probably fast enough. But if you had like Ibrahimovic or something, right? Like you're never going to get in behind on him, right? You're just fighting a losing battle. Mm. Even if someone says, oh, the instructions for this formation are get in behind, press back line on two strikers, and that's the only way to play. It's like, no, that's the way you're going to play with the players that you use because they have stats that do well with that sort of thing, right? And so for me, I find it really good with possession. And defensively, it's not as solid as it could be because I don't have those DMs, but because I have that shadow cam, again, on my two CMs, like they have fantastic pace and they have fantastic tackling, and so they can track back and make tackles when I need them to. But for me, yeah, the possession's great, and that's because you have a center forward that can shift from one side to the other. You have, at least for me, using Werner as a striker, I've got him on drift wide and get him behind, so he makes runs out to the wings, which opens up my outside midfielders to cut inside behind him or my center forward to get into space. And like, there's just always a good passing option in that formation, and there's enough movement in the middle that you get a lot of different opportunities to score different kind of goals and create a lot of good quality chances.
That's really interesting. I think the way that you've described that is actually quite similar to how my formation's working for me. Actually, it's very, very good, and maybe I need to have a go with your custom tactics because it sounds like they suit for that formation quite well.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that I also wanted to talk about regarding formations is, have you tried any narrow formations? Because I think there's a bit of a hangover. A lot of players are still using them, but I don't think they're particularly effective.
Yeah, I've tried the, I enjoy the 4-3-2-1 this year, which is a pretty narrow formation. Okay. The formation that I struggle against with my formation is that 4-1-2-2 narrow. And that's largely just because when they leave the attacking mid on stay forward, and if they can bypass my midfield too easily, it'll create chances where it's their two strikers matched up on my two CBs and their attacking mid right behind them, and it's a mismatch on like a 3-on-2.
Yeah, I think I can agree with that. In my formation, even with the two CDMs, I think that formation is a bit of a challenge.
Yeah, you should try your two CDMs on Manmark. That'll help with that a little bit.
It's interesting you said it's effective, and I wonder whether you came up against many three at the back formations, because what I've started to do is really early on, if I see someone playing one of these narrow formations, they don't have any wide midfielders basically, I always switch to three at the back, particularly the 3-5-2 formation. I find it's really effective because you always have a 3-on-3 up front against their centre backs, which is kind of awkward, but I think that's not where it sort of is most outstanding. Where it's most outstanding is in your defence, where you've got three at the back, but then you've also got two CDMs sitting, and it completely clogs up that area. So you don't have any trouble, really, I think, dealing with their three attacking players. And it's so narrow in the midfield as well that you've got all this space for your left mid and right mid. If you have a good left mid and right mid, you're able to work it out to them. You're going to find it so easy to create chances. And actually, one of the interesting things about this is I don't think players who are playing that narrow formation, who are probably playing it because it was so effective last year, really are thinking about the fact that they're being countered, their system is being countered in this way, because it wasn't effective last year when I tried it. So I think it seems to, at least at the moment, be a really kind of clever way of counteracting anyone who wants to kind of force the play through the center the whole time.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. And I think it works really well. So I'm sure the listeners will like, since I have like a super bias against players that play that 4-1-2-1-2 style, just because I think it's ugly and I don't think it's fun and I think it looks poor. Mm-hmm. It's just like not a style that I enjoy playing. It's not a style I enjoy watching. And it's not a style I enjoy playing against because I don't think it's a good representation of real football. And like for me, that takes something away of it. Like it's just abusing game mechanics and I don't love that.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, actually. I refused to adopt it last year. I did it for one weekend league and just thought, it's horrible. Like, you're not really creating chances in the way that you do in real football. It's all very kind of abuse the meta.
It's as close as you can get to, like, quick twitch or a quick twitch muscle reaction formation, though. Like, because the players are so tight and they're consistently in the same spots, you just do it without thinking. And if you do it quick enough times, like, you're going to get chances. And that's like, it just churns chances that way. And that's why people, at least for me, that's why people like it. But going back to what you said with the, like, a 3-5-2 and narrow formations, I said, I don't know, I think I mentioned that I was playing a 4-3-2-1, or I like that formation a bit. And interestingly enough, for me, it's a narrow formation that can be made to play very wide. So I use my like left forward and right forward on get in behind, but also drift wide. But more importantly than that, I find that was what was awesome and a lot of fun with that formation is I put my outside backs on always overlap. And so like I would score a lot of goals with those outside backs and create a lot of chances because they're getting in a really, really good positions. And like your opponents, if they're playing a four back, their left back or right back would close in on the outside of your left forward or right forward. And you'd have an outside back overlapping that you could play on through and, you know, look for a cut back or look for a shot or look for a cross. And if they're playing a three at the back, they're using a wide midfielder. And that wide midfielder will not drop back to cover the outside backs that are going to bomb forward. And then there's crazy amounts of space on the wing that you can exploit against the three center backs. And so I think it's the 4-3-2-1 is a really versatile formation that can be played a lot of different ways this year. And it's a good one to have in your back pocket because it can it can work with or against a lot of different styles.
And there are quite a few different instructions you can put on your forward players as well. And I think what's quite underrated is putting the right forward, left forward on things like drift wide or maybe even false nine or whatever, just to kind of make them do a bit more than maybe just stand there and be like a striker, which doesn't actually help you that much, at least in this game.
Before the patch, I was playing them on the false nine instruction, and that's because people were having a really hard time defending players that would drop deep into the midfield, right? And so it would create a lot of chances because they drag a lot of players out of position. But now the AI is a little bit better at tracking that and realizing like the midfield just is more congested than it was before. And so instead I like those players to get out wide and drag a center back or drag a player with them and allow my central midfielders or my striker who I play on the false nine instruction more often than not to kind of occupy that space.
There's a lot of versatility with that. And it also, the other thing is that with instructions, I think working slightly better this year, you do find that if you set your central center mid in that formation to stay back, it does seem to actually work this year, which I think in previous years, it really didn't. It was really frustrating having someone like, I remember I had, who was it? It was Ricardo Carvalho, who I loved and thought was a fantastic CDM. But I tried to play him in that 4-3-2-1, stuck him in the center mid slot with stay back and stay on the edge of the box instructions. But he'd still end up in the opposition box and not when you're trying to cross it in, which he may have been used for. But just on making a run, like a sort of as if he was going to take a through ball. And it was like, what are you doing? This is not useful.
Totally. Instructions work this year and they're really, really good. Because of instructions this year, I find that I enjoy midfielders that have a high, high work rate. And I don't think it like hampers me that much defensively because they also work really, really hard to get back on defense, even when they're like taking opportunities into the box. And so like a medium work rate midfielder as well, just basically like plants himself. He doesn't get himself too far forward. He will track back, but like it's just really, really nice. And that's why I think you can use a variety of different formations and a variety of different tactics and have some success. Because of that, it's just a vast improvement over last year. And the people that are every time that I see a comment that's like, oh, this is like FIFA 17, like 2.0, it's not. Like, you can play it that way, but you don't have to. And so, like, experiment with that and play around with it and play some games against your friends and try some different things out. And you'll discover that different things work and it's going to make the game a lot more enjoyable for you.
Totally. And I think one of the big things that I found on that is that for the first time ever in FIFA, I've actually been changing instructions at half time and seen an impact. Yep. If I've set my central defensive midfielders to stay back, but I realize that there's space in midfield for them to get forward, if I put get forward on them, you will actually see a difference and they will push forward. And same with the left and right back, as you were saying, when you're talking about the 4-3-2-1 formation, you know, sometimes I'll just think, well, my CDMs are doing a good job in the center and they don't have much going on out wide. I'll just put those guys to always overlap rather than stay back or whatever, and it will make a really big difference. So that's been great to see. I think it's been one of the big positives for this year. And as you say, one of the big reasons why this year is a different game for me. So great. We've talked a lot about the gameplay so far and it's all been very interesting stuff. But I wanted to talk to you about a new game mode this year, which I know you've been playing. And I know lots of our listeners are very enthused about as well. Squad battles. What do you make of it?
I love it. And like, It's just one of the best additions to Ultimate Team that EA could have possibly added for the working man that loves FIFA, the casual player that loves FIFA, the hardcore player that loves FIFA. It's a great game mode that allows you to play or spend time on FIFA at a different pace than what Weekend League required and still get great, like, cool rewards for it and feel good about the game. But the reason it works is because, and I just don't see it talked about enough, like, EA should absolutely be applauded for the work that they've done on the AI this year, because more often than not, I forget that I'm playing against the computer and I feel like I'm playing against another user. And that is truly, truly amazing and makes the game mode work. It feels so good. Even if I lose, like, I played one game on Ultimate and got absolutely thrashed and was like, okay, that's, like, not for me. Like, I can beat the consistently beat most squads unless they're in a formation or something that counters the way I play by, like, four or so goals on Legendary. And so sometimes I have close games. More, I win, like, 98% probably of the game. Well, I think I've won all but, like, one game on Legendary. And that was, like, very early on, the one that I lost.
It's interesting as well, because you play quite a possession-based style. Right. And obviously it seems like the AI tried to play that way in general. Do you tend to find that you can kind of keep possession just as well against the computer?
I play a little bit. I probably drop like 5% of possession versus the AI. And it drops a little bit. And I don't think that's so much on the AI. I think maybe it's a little bit. Here's the thing. Okay, this is like twofold. One, like, it's interesting that you say the AI plays a more possession style. And I think that's not so much the AI playing a possession style as the vast majority of foot players playing a non-possession style, right? Like, yeah, just pinging it forward. I think the AI plays like real football. And so I think that's part of why I tend to enjoy it. And then also for me, I think I zone out a little bit against the AI. So I like call second man press a lot more and I just try to get the ball back as quickly as possible and end up giving up easy passes. Or giving up an easy goal, or I'll forget that I'm playing against the AI and try to like do some left bumper, like tight control dribbling at the top of the box to get a finesse shot chance, and give up possession really easy because the AI doesn't really bite on that stuff as well. You know what I mean? So I think it's more me not concentrating and remembering that I'm playing against the AI, and there are things that are inherently built into my style that I do consistently against users to try to like outwit them or outsmart them, that the AI just like doesn't, like, they'll just come in and tackle me, right? They're not like, oh, he's changing directions, he's gonna play this pass. They're like, I can tackle the ball here, so I'm gonna tackle the ball here. And so honestly, I think it makes me like a better player for it, because you learn to make smarter, I think you make smarter passes if you're really gonna try to do well against the AI.
Yeah, that's quite interesting. They do, defensively, they are incredible, so well disciplined. I think that's the big thing, isn't it? It does make for a challenging game. I would say that I've enjoyed it. I'm not sure how much. I just really enjoy the kind of mental battle with an opponent. I think that I don't get on squad battles, so maybe that's why. But I have to say the rewards, especially for someone who's a casual player, someone who's playing, maybe you only need to play sort of like 10 games a week to get very decent rewards. Yeah. You know, you're talking above 10k coins, like very decent packs. But I think at the sort of top end, when you're getting maybe the elite one or two, I don't think the rewards are nearly so good up there. You know, you've got good coins, 50k for elite one, and I think 39 for elite two or something. But the packs, I mean, I don't think I've got anything particularly good so far in the first week when I got elite two, and I think in the second week. So it's a strange kind of thing whereby actually, well, maybe it's not strange. It's exactly what they want. It's great for casual players. If you're playing, you can play 10 to 20 games a week in the mode and you can win most of your games, you're going to get a very solid reward, which you'd never get out of Foot Champs. So I suppose that's a very, very sensible idea. Are you kind of happy with the reward tier system, or is it something that doesn't concern you so much if you're playing Foot Champs?
I haven't really given it too much thought. I think it's fine because I haven't really thought too much about it. Like I said, I use it. I really like it for testing different tactics. And like, I find it pretty easy to get elite one, not even playing that much. And I think the rewards for that,
I guess it really depends how many games people are playing.
Yeah.
How other players,
I don't know,
are doing,
four
right?
games of FIFA is just over an hour. I don't think that's, for somebody that wants to consistently spend time in a relaxed way with the game while still building their ultimate team, I think that's like a super reasonable amount to play. You know, because like if you're getting, I don't know, if you're playing on Legendary and you're getting 2,500 coins a game, you know, and you're playing, say you play 30 games a week just to make it easier, that's what, 75,000 like points, which is for sure going to put you in Elite One, if not put you in something higher than that. Those rewards are great because it's something like it's just a relaxed way to play Ultimate Team that wasn't available before, and you're being rewarded for it. So like I just don't think you can ask, and like the AI is good, it's fun to play against, so I don't think you can ask for anything more of it. I just think it's a fantastic addition from EA, and they should absolutely be applauded for it. And even the super competitive player, it's simple to like incorporate squad battles into your like normal routine for the rewards, and so you're going to get rewarded for that as well. And it's an extra something you could get out of Ultimate Team that you wouldn't get before, and it's just really, really good. I'm thrilled with the game mode.
I absolutely agree. Now, final question before we do some listener questions: if I was a player who was thinking of switching to PC for FIFA, sure, as you've done, what would you say? Would you recommend?
Absolutely. I'll give you the downfalls and like some frustrating parts first. First, that like alt tab, like realizing you can't click on your second monitor at all or click out of the game at all. It was very, very frustrating to begin with. Not a big deal once you get used to it, right? Because it just shouldn't be a big deal. Like you should be focusing on the game. It's more like I click out when, oh, the guy put down his controller. And when I did that on Xbox, I just go switch over to my PC or something, you know? Sometimes it's a little bit harder to find matches, depending on like your region and the time of day that you play. But I get better graphics. I have an absolutely better connection. Trading is a lot more fun because because there are less people, and depending on the time of day, it's like old school foot for me where I can find nice deals on open bids even. There are still enough players on the market that prices aren't like as outrageous as people said they were. Now time will tell, right? There are a lot of people playing right now. If people drop out, maybe it'll be more difficult. 25 games for a weekend league for a guy that's never, like, I have zero aspirations of ever going pro, is a million times more manageable. And so for me, it's like,
I mean, that does sound pretty dreamy, doesn't it? That particular point, 25 games for a weekend,
yeah,
like in the
and
same
no,
rewards.
No,
right?
The rewards aren't the same. They're a little bit worse. But everybody still on PC is getting those same, like, slightly worse rewards. So are you any worse off because of it? I don't think so. And so it's just been a great change for me, and it's given, maybe that's why I'm playing more, and it's given like FIFA a new life. But I've been able to get like really nice deals, build my team with like light trading. I have a nice team that I enjoy playing with. And the competition is still like, I think it's just as good. And when I say it's just as good, here's the thing. The total number of elite players on PC is probably lower than the total of elite players on, comparing it to either console. Percentage wise though, you probably still have a similar percentage of players on PC that are elite, like going down to console. Now, they might not be quite as elite as like your gorillas and like your pros and that sort of stuff, but it's still really, really nice competition. And so if you don't have aspirations of becoming, you know, signing a pro player, the pro team, and for older guys like myself, like I'm married, I have other things that I want to do on a weekend, but I still really love playing FIFA. Like if I can get up in the morning and play, you know, 3 hours on Saturday morning, 3 hours on Sunday morning, that's 6 hours. I'm like almost all the way through weekend league, you know, and at 25 games, that's pretty amazing.
That is really good. So huge advantage to doing that. Just for context, how many transfers are normally active on console?
I'll tell you right now. Let me pop on there real quick and I can give you an accurate one. But I think I remember there being like 540,000 active at the moment.
Okay, so that's not like a massive, like, low compared with Xbox, which is sometimes only about a million. So.
Yeah, and that's, like, to me, that's at least super reasonable. If, for the squad building challenges that I've wanted to complete, I've been able to go out and get players for them. So I just don't... There were a lot of knocks, and as far as, like, cheaters go, I think I had a couple people quit out on me in draft, which I guess is, like, a draft bug that you can do something with. But other than that, I have no cheaters.
Great. Well, really interesting to know that you're certainly enjoying the FIFA PC life. Quite a ringing endorsement there for anyone who's interested. So I think it's probably time now to move on to questions. I think it's been a pretty big first part, so we'll probably just take one question, then move on to part two. But This question is one that's particularly interesting and one that gets asked and answered. Well, it's a hot topic of debate, basically. And just quickly, we should just say before asking the question, thanks to everyone who sends in questions. We do read them all. Unfortunately, they can't all make it onto the pod. And if you want to submit one, you can tweet at footweeklypod or you can email footweekly@mail.com. So this is Bateman at NY Jester, and he asks, are SBCs really worth it? He's kept all his coins in his club and he feels that he's in a much stronger and more flexible position.
Oh, for 100%. Look, the money, like the player of the month SBC is the one that always like tells the tale. If you spent the coins to do Mane as the first one, you're pretty much locked into a Premier League side for the rest of FIFA, right? Because you, what was he, like 300K or something that you could do? Yeah, something. Like that, yeah. So like to commit 300K that early in the game, like that 300K, even if you'd just gone out and bought a 300K player, like, I don't know, Griezmann or something on PC, you probably could have bought if you'd done it like right away. Now he's up like to 450. Like, not only did you lose the 300K that you invested into Mane, you lost the opportunity to use that elsewhere, not to mention the growth that you naturally see incur in the game on like the player that you would have spent that money on anyway. So like Mane now, yeah, you completed it for 300K. Like, that's great. But in actuality, the opportunity cost of that 300K, you probably spent more like 500K completing it now. And that's only going to increase as the game goes on. And so because you're going to, you would have.
You can't kind of snowball that money.
Yeah, exactly. Until player prices start dropping, like that money would have been better off. You would have been better off doing something else with it. Unless Mane is your, like, the best player, you think he's the best player in your team and he is helping you finish top 100 and getting those like ultimate team packs and like that sort of stuff. Unless he's doing that for you to where you're getting better rewards because you spent that 300K on him, I just don't think it's worth it. And so some of them are worth it where you can go out and spend like, I don't know, 10,000 coins or something and get like a rare players pack. Like, is that, that's absolutely worth it. Especially at the beginning of a game when player prices are like higher and there aren't like discard value 84 rated players, or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
From that sense, I think those are worth it. But like your player of the month, like I won't do a single one of those this year unless I have at some point have a team that I absolutely love, have coins laying around, and I say, hey, that like second player of the month, Mane, I know he's out injured right now, but that card I would love to use as a super sub for the rest of FIFA, and I'm going to bring him on in every single game I play at the 60th minute and think that he's going to be able to change enough games for me that he's worthwhile. But like this year, I just went to the like Ultimate Team Center or whatever it's called and got loan players and just put like loan gold players on my bench, and I just sub them on in Foot Champions if I need a boost. So like, why would I, like, when you can get, I don't know how many games you get Ronaldo for, but you can get like Aubameyang or something for like six games throughout a weekend of Foot Champions. There are probably six games that you could use a striker sub. You bring them on, and then like next weekend you go out and you get Lewandowski or get Hazard or something and bring him on in that situation. So even populating your subs bench with super, or with like a Perisic or something that's a really good player that you'd love to bring on consistently, like you can do better with like the loan players at least to start the game, and you're not spending any coins on them.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. In fact, I mean, it's funny because this year I think subs are really effective, and I was going to talk about this later, but I might as well mention it now. But Anaki Williams has been a godly sub for me. He's so strong, and in the final stages of the game, his pace and physical, just unbelievable. You can kind of burn past. It almost feels unfair. He just burns past people with ease, like will hustle them off. It works really nicely.
I'll give you some. The one, I have like one inform player on my subs bench, and that's just because like I had him, he fit into my squad originally when I was using a League One side, but I have that inform Meunier, the right back. He is without question the best right back that I've used this year, like bar none. He's 6'3". His strength in defending is amazing. With shadow, he's like unstoppable. He can shoot, he can pass, he can dribble, he's absolutely amazing. But I you know, 4-star weak foot. But I leave him, I didn't sell him. I bought him for like 40K. I think he's up 20K from that now on PC maybe. But I decided not to sell him. And he just is an absolute tank in the midfield. I can play him anywhere. Like in game, I think with Shadow Chem, he ends up as like an 87 rated defensive midfielder, right? He's got like over 90 acceleration, sprint speed, is 6'3", 99 standing tackle. And he just is, he's just a tank to bring on at the end of the game. And people, you know, having a player like that I think is useful at that point. But like Inaki Williams, anytime you bring on a player that has good physical and good pace towards the end of the game, like you're going to absolutely reap the benefits of that.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. And I think that was definitely the case for me last year. Let's move on now to part two, which is going to be pretty short this week. We'll just quickly run through the team of the week and then bring you some pretty interesting informed reviews, informed impressions, in fact. And Japes is going to provide a dynamite discard as well. Here's a little bit of music. Right, so Japes has alt-tabbed out of the podcast just for a few minutes, so I'll quickly talk you through the team of the week, and then two of our reviews, informed impressions, are actually on this week's team of the week, and we've got Japes' dynamite discard as well to come. So let's do this team of the week. It's pretty good. I think it's one of the better ones that we've had in recent weeks. It's definitely better than last week. Some pretty tasty big players, Matuidi, outstanding card, of course. Shame about the two-star, but apart from that, very, very solid. You've got Lewandowski, obviously phenomenal, extremely expensive, but a great player and a clinical finisher, as everyone knows. And Christian Eriksen, always impressed by his card. He's actually quite tall and obviously has good stamina, so plays really well. The only thing about him, of course, and both Matuidi and Lewandowski, is the upgrades on those cards just isn't that big. But moving on to some of the kind of cheaper picks in the team of the week, you've got some really interesting players with decent upgrades. The likes of Sanabria, he's got 3-star skills and 4-star weak foot. If he had 4-star, he'd be a phenomenal player because he's got mid-80s pace along with 80 strength, really good agility at 85, and great ball control and dribbling at 87, 86. So he looks like a really well-rounded striker, even without any chem style applied. Another player who'd be an excellent striker, and it's a shame this inform is at a right mid, is Kramaric. He's got decent strength again. He's got outstanding shooting, 87 finishing, 87 shot power, 82 long shots, and decent pace, good agility, great ball control, and dribbling as well. And then final two kind of cheap picks, you've got Zuber, one of three Hoffenheim players in this team of the week. He's an outstandingly well-rounded card, ridiculous long shots on him as well, near 90 on both shot power and long shots. And one of those players I think would work really well as your left mid in the 4-1-2-1-2, so that kind of wide left mid spot where they're almost a midfielder, because in that position I think his passing, defensive play could be really beneficial. And on 7 chem as a left back or as a central or midfielder, I think he'd be absolutely outstanding. 6 foot and high work rates as well. Real shame that he's not a central card, although then of course he'd be much more expensive. Final player that I just wanted to mention briefly is Jose Altidore. Yes, he may be a bit of a villain, I think, for the performance he put in the final game, but in the game before that he got this inform, and he looks really, really good because he's got 81 agility, but he's also got 92 strength, and for me that always kind of stands out, that combination of agility and strength and decent sprint speed and good shooting. You get 99 shot power with Hunter and good pace as well. He looks a really outstanding little card, and someone you can link up with Giovinco, who's outstanding as well on this game. So I think for me that's most of the team of the week wrapped up. A few players I didn't mention worth noting, Granqvist could be a great investment. You've got Arnautovic, the kangaroo who learned how to play football, the legend himself, Tim Cahill. You've also got two other players who we'll go on to in our informed impressions, but first of all, let's hear it, Japes. Now you're back, who is your dynamite discard for this week?
So I guess the rules are under 1k. I don't think he's quite under 1k, but Sarri, the Ivory Coast central midfielder from Nice. As I mentioned earlier, I like to use shadow chem on all of my players, and Sarri with the shadow chem makes for 99 acceleration, 87 sprint speed, like 90 standing tackle player that already has 87 short passing. So bringing him on as a sub for me is like, he can cover every inch of the pitch and tackle players. Bringing him on late is hysterical because he's got a full bar of sprint speed, and when you're going up against a player, I don't care who it is, and they only have half a bar, like he's gonna be able to just like run around him and tackle him. He's really, really good. I think I was telling you my stats because I had before I moved to like a Bundesliga side of my team, I had a League One side, and in the 50 games that I've played with Sarri, and this is when I was using a 4-3-2-1, I used him as my left CM with Fabinho as my central CM and Balde Keita as my left forward. He had 50 games played, 9 goals, 39 assists. And like, wow. That's for a CM in that sort of formation, I think that's really, really good. And so I would highly recommend. Like, he's an 82 rated player, so he's got already like really, really good stats built in. And he's just awesome. Like, he's so versatile. You can, if I need to, I can play him, bring him on and play him on the wing. He can get up and down. His passing is good enough, and like, his crossing is not great, but like, everything, his long passing is fine. He can ping a through ball up to the strikers. So you can bring him on right back, left wing, right wing, CM. I just maybe wouldn't bring him on as a striker, a CB, because he's a little bit small. But he's super versatile. And if you can include him in a team, include him in a team. If you want to just try him out and use him as a sub, just do that.
He sounds like the kind of player that I'd enjoy using, actually. I like a kind of dynamic midfielder who can put themselves about. And then also having a more holding player and a player who can make the play
right.
going forward with four-star skills. So I think he'd be that perfect as that kind of box-to-box yep. option. The only thing about him is it's a bit of a shame he has two-star skills. If you just had that three-star, for me, that would...
Why is that a shame?
I don't know. I like to be able to do the... I like to do the heel flick and like to roulette. So I don't know.
But here's the thing.
Two things.
It's almost a good habit to use CMs that only have the two-star skills, because
yeah, you're probably
like
right. yeah,
the
yeah.
amount of times that I try to do some sort of a skill move with a four-star skilled central midfielder and lose the ball and get countered and scored on is a lot more often than when I decide to take a simple pass with my central midfielder, don't lose the ball, and end up not getting scored on. So I think that's, like, for me, the four-star weak foot yeah. in a CM, like, I don't really care what their skill moves look like.
This is probably where we just slightly differ, I guess. I just like to always have the option to be able to yeah. pull off a skill if possible. But, you know, everyone to their
sure.
own, and I totally agree. I think he's one of those players as well that I'd look beyond that for him, because he does have exceptional stats. So my particular pick for an informed impression is a player I've been bringing on mainly as a substitute because he's so difficult to link up, and it's the inform El Yunusi. He's just come out, that 82 rated card, obviously with the 5-star skills and 4-star weak foot, high medium work rates, which is really, really nice. But the reason why I've picked him and using him as a substitute is he just seems to have that balance of stats which really suits the substitute well. Yes, we were talking earlier about having really kind of pacey, attacking, quick players is really important. But where he shines is actually he's got very, very good short passing and very, very good agility and ball control and dribbling, which allows him to kind of be a bit of a playmaker. And I like to bring him on sometimes at CAM as well. And he's actually quite strong. He's one of those players that I think, because of his high balance and sort of average strength, and maybe as we were saying before about what you were saying, strength not mattering so much, that balance seems to be enough to keep him upright against the strongest defenders. He just seems to pop up with these goals from nowhere. And I'm not quite sure what it is, because his finishing isn't particularly exceptional at 78, and his shot power is good, 86. But I've been really surprised with the quality of contribution when he comes off the bench. And I'm still sort of puzzling as to why he's been so good. I just, yeah, can't quite put my finger on it, but he is a very effective player.
Yeah, I when I first saw the team of the week, I kind of looked at him, because it's always, like you were saying, it's always fun to have a player with 5-star skills and like the 4-star weak foot as well. So like, if nothing else, there are a lot of opportunities to bring him on and let him have an impact. He just, you know, he's never going to be a player that you're going to see in people's starting lineups, because it's just difficult to link him. But it's certainly a player yeah. that you can pick up, and like for squad battles or something, like he's probably a ton of fun to bring on.
Mm-hmm, totally. Yeah, it's definitely been useful having that sort of little skill move that you can pull off here and there. That the stats I've been referring to are with basic on 5-chem, because that's all you
right.
get bringing a player on. So it's quite important to remember that unless you're putting one of those, like something like Shadow on, you're probably not boosting the stats that much at all. So yeah, he's got a very well-rounded card anyway, so it works quite nicely, I think. What's the player that you're going to bring up for your...
Yeah, my favorite, well, I guess not my favorite inform card that I've used, because I do have the inform Messi.
Yeah.
But the player that I has had like the biggest impact on my team recently is that inform Goretzka from Schalke. Best box-to-box CM in the game for me. I would not hesitate to... I even, like, I went out... Generally, I make the smart market move, and I won't go out and buy an inform player until, like, much later and their prices drop. I went out and bought him on Friday because I wanted to use him square away for my team in weekend league, and he's just worth every penny. Like, as I was saying with the Shadow Chem that I use... he has 98 acceleration, 96 sprint speed, 97 in standing and sliding, 96 interceptions. But he also has 90 stamina. And so he's 6'2", So he's a big guy, and with the high work rates, he gets up, he gets back. He's just like an absolute tank in the midfield. He's my favorite CM that I've used. I would use him at CDM. I guess you could use him if you put like a maestro or something, if you wanted to make him more apt going forward. Mm. But he's just like, as far as box-to-box CMs go, which I think is the one of the most important positions this year on FIFA, like, he's just awesome. Like, I guess he's almost part of the Hullet gang already, right? Where he's got 77 mm-hmm. shooting, so he's almost there. And if he gets another in form, yeah. I will sell this card and buy the next one. He very well could be a staple of my like ultimate team going forward. He's just that good.
He kind of looks like a sort of slightly less quick, but pretty much as quick, but more physically imposing Ramirez.
Maybe. I wouldn't quite call him like a... I'm trying to think of... I want to compare him to like the legend Mateos, but he doesn't have...
Okay,
He's taller than him, so he's a lot better like in that sense, but he doesn't... He can't score as easily. He's not as good in front of goal. Mm-hmm. But like everything else, he gets up and back in the same manner, and he's kind of all over the place in the same manner. For what you're paying for a player of that quality, with the links that you can get, you know, linking him up to Boateng or German CBs, German right backs, other German CMs like Bundesliga players, Marco Reus, who I've got him linked to. Like he's just awesome, and slapping like a shadow or catalyst or whatever. Like you get almost a 99 acceleration, 99 sprint speed player that's 6'2" that you have with fantastic midfield stats, and players like that are super rare in this game and have a giant impact.
I totally agree. I'm really keen to try him out. I just don't have a team that I can get him into at the moment.
Well, I'll tell you what's funny. If you slap a shadow on him from the start, he's a 91 rated center back in game. So, like, for what it's worth, like, that's just pretty comical to have a player like that running around in your midfield and also have like 86 short passing and over 80 in shot power and long shots. Like, he's just a very, very unique player this year and well worth the coins.
Yeah, he really is someone that I'm really looking forward to getting into my team for sure. I think on that note, we're going to have to end the show there, but thanks very much for joining us. It's been great to have your insight.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. You know, you guys in the audience as well, if you have any questions for me or insights of your own, feel free to tweet me at AirJapes and let me know what you think. But other than that, I appreciate you letting me chat FIFA with you, as always.
Goodbye to Japes, and of course, goodbye to you, listener. And thank you very much for joining us once again this week. More great guests next week, and perhaps even the mysterious Foot Economist will return for some market insight. See you next week. That might be the end of the podcast, but the discussion doesn't end there. We want to hear your thoughts on Foot 18. Drop us a tweet at footweeklypod or email footweekly@mail.com. If you haven't subscribed already, you can do so through a whole range of options by going to footweeklypodcast.com/subscribe or just search Foot Weekly through your podcast provider of choice.